geography?
Just as I am.
I feel like I am. Thank you, Brother Philip. Amen. Now, if you would please turn with me. I took a little time to study Romans this week, but that was precious little. And I had to fight to be able to get this morning off for work without working all night. Pulled a few strings, but God was gracious. And so we're here today. I absolutely love Sundays. There's something special in the air on the day to me. And because I get to be with God's people and get to hear God's word. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I can't wait to get to the book of Romans and start studying it afresh and anew. And God knows how much I'd rather be in full-time ministry all the time than to deal with danger and the situations that I have to deal with on a regular basis. So if you would please, 1 Peter chapter 5. Yes, sir, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Now, these verses have brought me comfort and strength, I imagine, thousands of times now in these, 40? I was saved in 1980. That would be 43 years ago, right? I think so. I went to public school. So is it 43 years ago? Yeah. So 43 years ago, last May, the Lord has made me his child. I was running away from him, but he arrested me. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror under such deep conviction of sin, feeling that if anyone deserved to go to hell for all this fighting and ugliness, it was this little snake in the grass. But God in his mercy, from before the foundation of the world, had a different plan for me. And thank God that he saved me by his amazing grace. But this verse 7 is the one. Here we'll start in verse 6 because we want to talk about humility's wisdom and its joy. So verse 6. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, God's way up is down. If you want to be honored openly, then you must pray in secret. If you want others to see Christ in you and to know that you're a child of God, it begins in your secret life. It begins in your prayer life. It begins in your private devotions before God. And then in due time, he'll lift you up to where others come to you and pray and say, please pray for me. He'll lift you up to where others will seek your advice, and not only your prayers, but what you should, what guidance they need, and you'd be a lighthouse for Christ. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, starting verse 6 again. Therefore, because it says in the verse before, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care, and some of the New American Standard would say anxiety. Say anxiety. And that's what it means, because this where it says casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Those are two different words for care. And so casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your burdens, all your worries, all your stress, you give that to God because he tenderly watches over you. He tenderly cares for you like a mother or father and their child, the apple of their eye. And so, casting all your worries upon him, for he cares deeply for you. Father, bless your word to our hearts now, and help us to understand this, that over and over again, if we would but let it get through to our hearts, and as you did for me, that for that season of years, that worry is a sin, and that we need to confess it is sin, and that we need to realize there is victory in you, where you tell us to worry not, to fret not, to fear not, over 300 times in your word. Father, and the examples of it as well, and Lord Jesus, worry is a sin, to let anxiety take hold of us, to be concerned or to be in the moment of crisis, to be fretful is normal, but to stay that way is a sin against you. What we need to learn here, the prescription, as in other places, is to take it to you, to cast on you all our worry, all our burdens, all our stress, all our fears, everything, for you tenderly care for us. Therefore, to worry is a sin. To worry is to see the problems of this world as bigger than our God, to see our stresses as signs that you don't love us or you're not watching or that you don't care enough. How could we say such a thing when we see what your Son did for us? And how could we say such a thing when we see how much you love us, that you gave your only begotten Son, in whose name we ask your blessing now. Amen. Happy is the one who has learned to leave all their worries, all their cares with the Lord. They have learned to trust the Lord with everything. No matter how big it is, he is still mightier. No matter how small, it doesn't escape his notice. And he sees and he cares about the little things as well. So, as we see here, they trust God's promises. They believe his attentive cares, caringness over them. That's not a word, is it? They believe his attentive and caring love over them, even more than they do their own beloved children. You realize that a lot of times, I've told Nathan this over the years, son, if you know how much a parent, a godly parent, loves their child, it would scare you to death. They would give their lives for you. They would do anything for you. Well, how about this lady's latest video game? Well, who says video games are good for you? They would do everything they could for your good. They want you to have the best in life, to be happy in life. And if you're happy, they're happy. And so these Christians that have learned to leave all their worries and cares with the Lord, all their stress with the Lord, they believe that he's attentive and caring even more than they are for their children. Happy are those who cast every worry, every doubt, every fear on the one who is far wiser, stronger, and much more able than themselves. You know, we can come to doubt or come to discouragement. That's what Satan is up to. Once you lost to him, as far as taking you to hell with him, once you're on your way to heaven, he doesn't want you to be effective and successful in the kingdom of Christ. He'll do what he can to discourage you. He'll do what he can to entice you and bring you into sin, because that steals your joy. That hurts the fellowship between you and God. And so he'll do all that. He'll bring persecution to discourage you, to try to bring you down, to get you discouraged, to make you worried. Jesus gave, in one verse, he gave the mission of Satan and his mission all in one verse. In John 10:10, he talked about Satan. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." To steal your testimony, to steal your joy, to kill your reputation, to kill the peace that you have in Christ. Because if he can make you frown, listen, if I see a couple that's married and the wife is always sad, what does that make me think about her husband? What does that make me think about her husband? He doesn't care about keeping her happy. She doesn't feel peace. She doesn't feel safety. She doesn't feel loved. Something is wrong. Why isn't her husband taking care of her? And the world sees you, Christian, when they know your testimony, that you go to church, that you're a believer in Jesus, but you're always sad, you're always worried, you're always moping around. Sometimes your jaw is so far down, it looks like you could eat the grub worms up from under the roots of the trees. Sometimes you look so sad or perturbed, they think you've been weaned on dill pickles and lemon juice. Right? The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. And then in Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice." This was written from the lowest dungeon in Rome, by a man who's facing being beheaded. And he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Look at that in the King James or the New King James. And the second "rejoice" is capitalized too. It's not the beginning of a sentence. It's just to bring out the emphasis of how Paul is writing. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." You know, Nathan and I always tell each other, be careful when we're driving and stuff. And the other day I let Nathan know why. I said, "Nathan, if something happens to you, how am I going to live? How am I going to go on?" I said, you are so important to me and I love you so much. If something happens to you, it's going to shatter my life. And, you know, even then I have to remember to be thankful to God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know that Nathan is born again. If he leaves me, I'm going to be so brokenhearted. I'm going to miss him so, so much. But I'll see him again. As God is true, and he is. As God made everything out of nothing, he's so powerful. And as God so loved us, he gave his only begotten son, so loving. I know I'll see him again. He's been washed in the blood. He's true blue, born again Christian. Thank God for that. Now, I'm going to be probably a little bit mad at God for a while that he took him away from me. But I'll also be thankful that God gave me the years I had with him here. And what I won't do, though I'll be sad, I won't stay sad. You know why? God won't let me stay sad. He won't let you stay sad either. I know Betty, when Jim went to heaven, she was brokenhearted. She had spent and showed so much love, even when he didn't recognize her. Even when he had a hard time with her name, she was there. And too bad that stupid COVID flu came up with the government taking advantage of something like that to separate us from everybody. But Betty still tried her best to see him. She would have been seeing him every day if they didn't, the government didn't lie to us to stop us from seeing people. And so, now that the truth has come out, a lot of Americans are mad at what they told us and all the lies they told us on that. But she was sad when Jim left. But you meet her now, she's always smiling, always encouraging, always saying good things about her brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, so I'm going to have to let Connie know when I see her tonight. Betty said the nicest things about you. And she's not thinking about what she's missing so much as she's thinking about all the things she appreciates and so on. I'm starting to chase a rabbit. But let me show you how much different this is than the world is. Happy are those who cast every worry, doubt, and fear on the one who is wiser than they are, stronger than they are, much more able and much more loving than they themselves. Life is full of anxious care. It's going to come to you. Burdens and trials and stress are going to come to you. This week at work, I go to work Monday morning, and what we call just a blast of horrible news came to me. A guy had come into the place where I work and had cut the air hoses. That means the braking systems from 32 trucks. It had happened over the weekend. I wasn't there, but I'm responsible. I'm the head of the security there. So I always have to answer where these other guys get lazy, mess up bad. And so, but by God's grace, within just a couple of minutes of being there, just two things came to my mind that put two and two together, and I knew who did it. It was a driver that was taking out revenge for being fired. Do you know why he was fired? He had the best reason in the world. He ran into a fire truck with its sirens on and its lights flashing and then use for the excuse, I couldn't hear it, I couldn't see it. Well, you shouldn't be driving. When something's flashing and making all that noise, what were you doing? And he got fired. He came back with a U-Haul, said he had to empty out his truck. But because the management of the company didn't tell us he had been fired, he was able to get in to empty his truck. But while he was back there emptying his truck, he was cutting the lines of 32 other trucks and stealing tools out of side compartments. But who had to answer for it? Who had to figure everything out? I'm not much. But by God's grace, it was taken care of. How much stress do you think that caused me? Well, just for a little bit. It was only a couple minutes before I had it figured out. And within the hour, I had reports made. And the head of the company looked at it and he said, you're right, that was the guy. They had containers blocking the big old freight containers blocking the camera. A month and a half ago, we told him, we need the cameras. And we need you to tell us whenever an employee is let go. Don't some of the worst things that happen in the workplace, aren't they caused by revengeful employees that have gotten fired? It was happening at the post office so much, we have a phrase for going postal, where these postal employees for the United States Post Office would get fired and come back and do what? Shoot everybody they could. It's happened in company after company and so on. We don't even know all of it. And so let me get back to the message. You listen quick now. Life is full of anxious cares. But most of our anxious cares are illegitimate. We're worried about something that happened in the past. Honey, child, you can't save that. You there's nothing you can do to go back and make it right. If you owe somebody an apology, then from your heart tell them how bad you feel. And a gift in secret also, the book of Proverbs says, if you give them a gift and you don't make a big thing out of it at all, just between you and them, you give them a gift in secret, you'll pacify much anger, the Bible says. So do what you can about it, but it's gone. How many times in my life still I wish I could go back and undo certain things. And it always has to do with helping somebody, saving somebody, telling about somebody something, or doing something myself to change the direction I was going. But listen, if you worry about tomorrow, you're stealing from your joy. You're doing something Jesus forbids you to do. Most of our anxious cares are illegitimate, and if things about the future, Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take enough worry for the things of itself. Worries about things that are beyond God's will for you to worry about is foolishness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. There's things you can do nothing about. Jesus said, do not worry. By all your worrying, can you make one hair white or black? No, you can't. How about for all your worrying, can you say, make yourself an inch taller? No, you can't. So why worry about those things? Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry about problems that are not meant for you because you cannot solve them? Soap operas know this trick. Devil knows this trick. Why do the soap operas keep so many people involved and involved? Because at the end of the show, they always leave a problem that has to be fixed. And you're thinking, oh, how is Jared going to get back with Penelope? And how is Penelope going to explain to her mother that her sister actually took her own life? Find out tomorrow on How the Stomach Turns. And so it's just crazy. The news media is this way too. They'll build up things that are really not stories that they made up and try to get people miserable. Because it's going to sell more viewership, more advertising. So let's make a big thing out of this. Let's make a big thing and let's scare everybody. And you'll be miserable, see? And so we have to be careful that we don't worry about things that are not in our area to that are things we cannot solve and that belong to God only. The devil screaming brats at your doorstep is a beautiful illustration of this. Devils try to upset you with worry, try to upset you with fear, try to stress you out about things you cannot change. And so he'll bring his screaming brats to you to get your attention. What about Biden this? What about Biden this? Thank God one day he'll soon be gone. Most wicked president in U.S. history. And the thing is, but he'll only be there for a little while longer. And he's not my king. He's not my president. He's not my Lord. My king is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, you love America, I love America, I love what it stands for, the Constitution. I don't love what it's turning into. And I'll support our troops even when they're sent to the wrong places by the wrong kind of policy. I'm still for them, but I still don't trust those big boys and the elites and the military complex that makes the weapons for money and the politicians that start the wars for money. Are you listening? I love America. I love what the originist dream was, the American dream. But I don't love what's happening to it in politics. Oops, I'm going to say it. The open borders, a lot of it was involved with child trafficking. And a lot of politicians and Hollywood people are making money off the child trafficking. Say, Brother Ross, how could you say that? Because it's true. You better wake up to the world around you. A lot of the elites in Hollywood, your Jeff Bezos, how many trips to Pedophile Island did Bill Gates take? We know of 19 of them. You say, what does that mean to me? Well, who's involved in capturing most of the farmland in America now by the millions of acres? A pedophile named Bill Gates. He's buying millions of acres. He said, Brother Ross, I didn't want to hear about politics. I'm just telling you the signs of the times are there. There could be a lot for you to worry about if you didn't have someone higher. In whose hand is Bill Gates' next heartbeat? In whose hand is his next breath? In whose hand who's this Bezos guy? I always want to call him Bozo, but it's Bezos. It's in God's control. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? Brother Ross, the storm is dark. They're going to, within 30 days, they say that we're going to lose all hope in our money. It might happen. But my God said, don't worry. The birds of the air neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? And why do you take thought for your body, what you shall wear? Was not Solomon robed in the richest, nicest apparel? Yet he was not comparable to one of these lilies that grow wild in the meadow. Yet will not your heavenly Father much more take care of you? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And also said, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily. Means that Christians, for the most part, are depending on God for their food daily. Now, if I went to your house, I'm probably going to find some food in your refrigerator. If I look back far enough, I might sell you something that you forgot about. And go through your cabinets, and there's food. But yet, God said to his people, you know, it may be that you have to have daily bread. Don't worry. I'll be there for you. Are you not much more valuable than all the birds? For which of the birds did Jesus come to die for? None of them. He chose to give his life freely for you. Believers do have legitimate cares. Oh, by the way, when Satan leaves his screaming brats of worry and fear at your door, don't pick him up, don't feed him, shut the door. Don't pay attention to him. If you can't do anything about it, if it's not for you to take care of, What are you worried about it for? You say, well, I got bills to pay. Well, if you have to, I've done this before. Call them up and say, I can't make a full payment this month. I can send this much. And then the next paycheck, I can send some more. I'm having a rough time. And which of them has ever said no to you? Haven't you been through a lot worse times than anything you're going through now that you might be worried about? Well, David had a saying. He had a saying before King Saul and before Goliath. See, David had come through the battle with a lion. David had come through the battle with a bear. Now giant Goliath is standing before him. And it was fearful because it drove away all the Israel army, was too afraid to fight. You say, he's too big to beat. David said, no, he's too big to miss. So he's swinging his slings, all right? And then the Bible says David ran up to him, kind of probably like a zigzag, you know, so he doesn't get hit. He's probably running up to him, but it says he's running. And he lets that sling go. And you know what? It sounded like a 22 at least going off. Pow! As the leather let go of the stone. That slap. And he got Goliath right between the eyes. And Goliath finally got his through his head that day. You don't mess with God and his children. Get the joke? Got it through his head. But anyways, God gave him a complete victory. And your victory is already won. Have you read the last chapter of the Bible? Paul had care of over all the churches, but he didn't have worry. These cares will come to us while we're walking with God. At the job he gives us, there'll be stresses. There'll be things to try to shake us, things to make us worry. Actually, they're just giving us something to keep ourselves close to God about and to pray over, but not to worry about. You'll even worry about your devotion and service to God. You say, I'm worried I didn't read my Bible this morning. Oh, I'm worried I forgot to have my prayer time. Don't you realize how wonderful the grace of God is for his children? His grace is sufficient. It's called grace upon grace upon grace upon grace in John chapter 1. When you literally read it, it's talking about, well, with Jesus came grace and truth, and the passage in the Bible, grace upon grace. That means grace on top of grace, grace besides grace, grace underneath, grace all around. You can't save yourself. You can't be righteous in and of yourselves. And let me tell you, you ought to read your Bible every day. You ought to pray every day. You ought to at least listen to the Bible read every day. But if you don't, that doesn't make you a worse Christian. And if you do, it doesn't make you a better Christian. Your righteousness is through Jesus Christ, and he is received by faith. You have already been made the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Well, why should I read the Bible then? Because you want to be familiar with who Jesus is, to learn more about him, to know him is to love him, and to be smarter about who your enemies are. How to be able to tell the true from the false. The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. And by that, we defeat Satan. When Satan came after Jesus in the wilderness, how did Jesus fight him? With the Word of God. Every answer of his was by the Word of God. Please don't go to sleep on me for a couple more minutes. Then after that, during the offering, wake up for a little bit. The access care, the being too concerned, is sin. Believers have legitimate cares, but they distract us from the peace, the joy, the hope, the things above where Christ is at. This word for care is to be anxious about, to have a distraction, to draw away in different directions is how it's used. I studied the story of this song too. One of my favorite hymns. And if you remember it, sing it with me. It goes like this. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, with life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Nathan came home yesterday afternoon and to the house. I was so worried for working 14, 15 hours the night before. And I'm studying this hymn and listening to this hymn. Don't you know that it probably made him happy in his heart? Don't you know to make others happy in their heart when you're going through something that they would be worried about, but you're not worried about it? That shows your faith in God. What your worry is saying to them, my God's not big enough. My God doesn't really care about me. My God's not loving enough. My God doesn't see me. My God's forgotten about me. My God is, his power is for some other people, but not for me. I guess I'm not big enough or smart enough or holy enough. No, 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 no. All your righteousness is the gift of God through what Jesus took for you, what Jesus suffered for you. Now, when that gets in your heart and you're grateful, you realize it's all for him, all from him, for his glory. What are you going to worry about? He's in control. Life is more than these molecules and this temporal life and these temporal riches. Let's close. Most worries are not only illegitimate, and the access of this worry to be sin, but most worries are your own pride and your own selfishness. Verse 6 and 7, look at how it's related. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Notice their relation. And it goes back to verse 5. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let's therefore humble ourselves, casting all our care upon him. We become prideful when we take to the sin of worry. We're thinking it all depends on us. We're thinking that God is not big enough for us. We're thinking God doesn't love us enough or that he doesn't care, when we should be casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. We cast all our worries, all our fears on him. The cares of this life are like the thorns that Jesus used in the parable, remember? Sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Others fell among thorns. What were the thorns and the briars they fell upon? Don't you remember? These choked out the word that it couldn't become fruitful. The cares, same word here, the anxieties of this life choked out the word and became unfruitful. It is a sin to worry. It is a sin. Most worries are prideful and selfish. What has good has any worry ever done for you? I've had to face things in my life, and they were very serious. They were almost, well, could have been very well death in life. And it kept me from sleeping. So I thought I had to figure it out. And then I'd pray, thought I had to figure it out. Finally, peace came to my heart. And when I faced this man who was carrying a gun, and people were afraid of him, he had the gun on him right then. And I just told him plainly what my heart was saying, what the Word of God said. He said, okay, Pastor, I understand. I won't be a bother to your people anymore. And that was the last I saw him. Can I tell you that Jacob can worry all he wants to about meeting Esau in the morning, wrestle with God, but it would have been better had he just trusted in God, wrestled with the angel, then met Esau with joy instead of how he did. Jacob met his brother with trembling. He sent out the wife and the kids first. He was so afraid. It's like bears coming after you, and then you sending your kids out there, sending your wife out there, sending your animals out there. That's what he did when he was going to meet Esau. Finally, he comes stumbling along. Don't worry. Don't fear. It's not going to help anything. And in something about the future, 99% of the time, it's never going to happen. And the other percent, the time that it does, this is what I've learned. I'm preaching from my heart by experience. When it does happen, God is there, and it's never as bad as you thought it was going to be. He'll give you grace and strength to endure. You can ask Philip, time after time, he's been persecuted for Christ. But has Jesus been there with him? Yeah. And so don't worry. It doesn't help anything. Why do you think it will? It displeases God and makes him look like he's uncaring, unlovable, and not powerful enough to help you. Your sad and worried face damages the testimony of Jesus. And he said, unless he builds the house, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. How many times does God have to command us in the Bible, fret not, don't worry, don't be anxious, cast all your care upon him, be anxious for nothing. Philippians. In other words, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Listen, it goes to the part where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stop worrying. Take it all to Jesus. I've had burdens in my heart so bad, and only Jesus could help me. Only I could. He was the only one I could tell, and I would leave it with him. 2 minutes later, I'm thinking about it again, fretting about it again. Take it to him again. Keep casting all your care upon the Lord, and it won't be too long that you'll realize that thing you were so worried about, no longer in existence. God is taking care of it. And you hadn't even thought about it now for a couple of weeks. God is good. Heavenly Father, bless the offering. Bless our time together in your word. Thank you for loving us, Lord. We live in a troublesome time. We're living in a time now where the wicked perverts of this country are actually in gun classes. They're taking lessons to shoot. And specifically, they're taking target practice so they can kill Christians. Our enemy is wicked. He's perverse. Right now, the laws are going against preaching the gospel. We see police dragging people from preaching in the parks, from singing in public squares, from teaching and preaching along the sidewalks. We see the police arresting them. In just these past 2 weeks, three street preachers I've seen that were arrested for telling others about Jesus. And Father, they're coming after us. But like you said, rejoice and be exceeding happy, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you said, Lord, it's not because they hate us. It's because they hate you. They're coming after your children because they know that we are dear to your heart. They hate you because the darkness hates the light. The cockroaches hate when the kitchen light goes on, and the wicked hates to be confronted with their sinfulness and that they're on their way to hell. Lord, bless your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to receive our offering right now. All right, Becky, could I borrow your brother to take our offering? Amen. Thank you, Brother Philip, for all you do and volunteer for. Thank you, Brother. We already asked the Lord to bless the offering, so we're going to just add now.